This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken my Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. He saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. They did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. I want to talk to you and to myself today about coming to a new mind, a resurrection mind. You know, our lives are immersed in a world that is very often filled with negativity. And you know, if we're not careful, we can get mighty negative ourselves. In fact, it almost seems to be written into us to be negative. Every day, 10 trillion things go right. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I just want you to remember, the Lord's not just keeping your life in equilibrium, but the stars and their courses and all the things that all that implies. Every day, I said, 10 trillion things go right. And maybe about a half a dozen things go wrong. And at the end of the day, look out, what are we going to think about? I want to talk to all of us about coming to a new mind. A new mind. A resurrected mind. They did not understand that he had to rise from the dead. Now, I want to take one of these figures, actually two of them from the gospel today, and show you a little bit about their journey, but I want to mainly focus on John, referred here as the beloved disciple. And I want you to first of all notice that John and the others, but particularly John, goes through a kind of a conversion of his mind. In fact, brothers and sisters, this word that we often translate in the Bible, conversion, metanoia is the Greek word. It doesn't really mean conversion in the sense that we often think of it, but it means primarily, metanoia means to come to a new mind, a new way of thinking, to acquire a fresh spiritual way of thinking. And let's look at John here as he goes from reaction thinking to resurrection thinking. There's a journey that he makes. The first thing I want you to notice is reaction mode. Being in reaction mode. Now, first of all, for a moment, the spotlight turns on Mary Magdalene. It says here that on the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb, and it was early in the morning, church. Early in the morning. How many of you know that we need to acquire a new mind early in the morning? I believe it's called a cup of coffee. It's early in the morning, and it says here that it's still dark. Now, John doesn't make this observation just simply to indicate the time of day. Her mind has not yet come to resurrection light. The S-U-N sun has not risen for her, but neither has the S-O-N risen for her. She's still confused. Her mind is in darkness. It's early, church. Her mind isn't clear. It's dark. She still doesn't see. And she comes to the tomb, and she sees that the stone is removed from the tomb. And what does she think? Now listen, the Lord had said over and over again that on the third day, He would rise. Now John already told us it's the first day of the week, but that means it's the third day since Jesus was crucified. I think Friday is day one, Saturday is day two, so Sunday is day three. Hello? On the third day. Now, how many times had He told them that? Well, before we get too hard on Mary Magdalene, how many times has God told you and me it will be all right? But we just get overtaken by events, don't we?
Yeah.
On the third day. But you see, Mary sees the stone roll back, and instead of saying, "Glory," she says, "Grave robbers." And Mary just reacts. She just, boom, just reacts. Uh-oh. And what does she, where does she go? To the positive or to the negative? Hello? Negative. Immediately. Something happens in negative. Reaction mode, we'll call this. Instead of reflection, she's involved in reaction. Now, that happens to all of us, doesn't it? Something comes up in our life, and instead of reflecting that all things work together for my good if I love and trust the Lord, I immediately say, uh-oh, there's a problem, and it's not going to go well. Now, the last time I checked, Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father, and the last time I checked, He's still praying and interceding for us, and the last time I checked, He had said it would be just fine, and He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but have confidence because I've overcome the world. And yet, something happens, zing, right to the reaction, negative, uh-oh, this isn't going to be good. This is bad news.
Preach to us today.
Negative. Negative. Now, Mary runs. She's in a panic. She's reacting. She runs. And now, John and Peter are in a panic. Because, church, I got news for you. When you're negative, you can often bring other people with you. Running around, being negative, and suddenly, before you know it, you're surrounded by negative people. And how many of us know that it can be infectious when someone else comes to us and is negative? You know, there's a great beauty and a great gift to be able to stay in our own space and stay with our own stuff. Because too often we let someone else decide how we're going to be today. So-and-so's angry, so now I'm angry too. So-and-so's anxious, so now I'm anxious. But when can we begin to learn to be in our own space? And to have a resurrected mind that doesn't give way to the negativity. Now, church, over and over again, the world's going to be negative. You know, just turn on the news now. Church, if it bleeds, it leads. They almost never give you good news to tune in for. They say, now look out. The globe is warming and we're all going to die. Tune in at 11. Shooting on 3rd Street. Tune in at 11. And you see, even the advertisements are rooted in fear, aren't they? And anxiety. They're trying to get us to be anxious. Do you know that you're not good looking enough? You've got to buy this cosmetic. If you've gotten some wrinkles with age, that's not a sign of wisdom and dignity. No, you've got to look like you're 28. Don't you know people might frown at you? You better be anxious about what people think of you now. Buy this cosmetic. You got to drive this kind of a car, drive to live in that kind of a neighborhood. You got to, well, you see the point. You got to drink this beer. And by the way, brown suits are in. Everybody go buy a brown suit or you might be considered passé.
Come on, preacher. Come on now.
Now, you better be pretty anxious about this stuff, because by gosh, you better run fast as you can to the store. You see, they just want to put us in fear and in reaction mode. Amen, church?
Amen.
Do you know, for example, that you do not have enough beta blockers in your diet? Now, this could kill you prematurely. It might take 40 years for it to happen, but you better be anxious about it today. Get more beta blockers by buying this magic shake, and you shake it up and you drink it every day, and you are going to be healthy forever. You'll never die. But for now, be afraid. Be very afraid. You see the vision? A lot of negativity. We got to have a new mind, don't we? We live in a world that's about anxiety, fear, negativity. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing out there. I'm exaggerating to make the point, but I don't have to exaggerate too much now, do I?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, Mary Magdalene has been swept into this negative reaction mode. And now, because she's being negative, all of a sudden, John and Peter are negative. They're in a panic. They're running. So John hears, uh-oh. She says that there's grave robbers, that the stone was rolled back. And John, instead of thinking, wait a minute, what day is this? Checked his calendar. Third day. Before, he doesn't do any of that. He just reacts. Be very careful, my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Because you see, if we're negative, our children get negative. If we don't have hope, and we don't think that great things are possible, and that even our crosses are blessings in disguise, if we don't have a resurrected mind, neither were our children or our grandchildren, neither were our co-workers. We often wonder why people around us can be so negative, but sometimes we're part of the problem. I don't want to pick on Mary Magdalene here. I'm just saying, she's going to serve as our example, but you and I are Mary Magdalene too. We've had our struggles. We too easily just react instead of reflect. Now, I want you to, let's turn the focus now on John. And John too is just suddenly reacting. Uh-oh, grave robbers. It must be grave robbers. If someone comes to you with a negative report, how quickly are we going to buy into it? Instantly. Don't you, come on, church. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know that they're having a drinking problem? Oh, really? Ooh, tell me more about it. We just buy right into it. The negative reports. So John now, he's in reaction mode too. He's in a panic. He's running. He's thinking, someone stole the body. Grave robbers. Well, John and Peter start running, the text says. And there's a very interesting detail here. Peter and the other disciple, namely John, went out, ran, and came to the tomb. They both ran, but John ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial clothes there, but did not go in. Now, John ran, and he outran Peter. Now, someone might say, in fact, I heard some Bible scholars say in their commentary, well, that's just because John was younger. Well, I got news for you. John never gives details just for something insignificant like that. You see, I have it on the best of authority that John, as he was running, started to sing a gospel song. I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. Now, nobody told me the road would be easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Now, brothers and sisters, what am I saying here? I'm thinking this. That John, as he starts to run, and you see, there's something about running. When you're running, and I used to run cross country, you wouldn't be able to tell these days, but I used to run 8-10 miles a day in high school cross country, and I weighed 130 pounds. And now that was 100 pounds ago, but brothers and sisters, I used to run, and when you're running and you're running fast, you can't talk. You're breathing too heavy. You just can't talk. And so you start to get alone with yourself a little bit. And John is no longer being influenced by the negativity of someone else. He's alone with his own thoughts, and the Lord can go to work. And he's running. And I got news for you. I think this is happening. Now, you might accuse me of embellishing the text a little bit, but that's what preachers do. And I think that John started to think and pray. I saw him raise people from the dead. He healed lepers. He cast out deafness. He cured blindness. And didn't he say that on the third day he would rise? And it's just beginning to dawn on me now that the sun is coming up, the S-U-N and the S-O-N, that this is the third day. And John starts to run faster and faster. And he starts to gird on strength. And there's a saying from Isaiah 40 and verse 31 that says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So John is running, but he isn't weary. Because his mind is beginning to come to resurrection. The negativity is beginning to be moved away by the brightness of the resurrection. And all the negative thinking begins to go away. And I think he was singing another old spiritual as he was running. "Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel?" Maybe he was singing some of those verses. "Didn't my Lord deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace? Didn't he deliver Noah from the flood and Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah? Didn't the Lord deliver Joseph from the hands of his brothers in the deep dungeon? Didn't he deliver Moses and all the people from Egypt? Didn't he deliver David from Goliath and Saul? Didn't he deliver Jonah from the whale and Queen Esther and the people from the wicked men? Susanna from her false accusers? Judith from Holofernes? Didn't God promise to deliver the just in their trial? As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and the last day I shall see him again." Oh, I may be embellishing, church, but I'm sure this is what's happening. John's beginning to recover himself. He's now gone from reaction mode into recovery mode. He's beginning to think this through. And the Lord is working with his mind, giving him a new mind. And it says that John peered into the tomb. He deferred to Peter because Peter was the head of the apostles and Peter was the older man, and therefore he deferred. He didn't go in right away, but he peered in there and he saw something very strange, which brings him out of reaction mode and to recovery mode and now into reassessment mode. He sees the grave clothes lying there. Now you say, "So what, preacher? He saw the grave clothes." Now, you might say, "Well, what has that got to do with anything?" Well, I got news for you. If it was grave robbers, they weren't after the body. They were after the fine linen wrappings. They were after something called the face cloth, the sudarium, the finest linen was reserved for the cloth that was put over the face of a person who had died. Now, come on, church, anyone had to bury some loved ones? You know that we spend a little money to bury the dead, don't we? We put some pretty fine boxes together, lined with satin and cushions, and we put on a fine suit, fine dress. Well, it was that way in the ancient world too. People used costly ointments and nards and beautiful linens to wrap the body. And John looks in and he says, "This is grave robbers. They're not too bright. They took the body and left the clothes." He's reassessing, church. He's getting new data. And you see, what happens is, when we go into reaction mode, we just shut out all the data. We say, this is bad. Oh, this is bad. Oh, it's not going to be good. And we stop getting data, don't we? But John is beginning to recover. His mind is beginning to grow in this resurrection. understanding. And now he looks in and he begins to see the evidence very differently than Mary Magdalene did. And very differently than he first thought. Grave robbers? I don't know. And there's a very interesting thing that the Greek text here says that those grave clothes were, the Greek word is kemai, which means they're lying stretched out. And it's a hard word to translate. Most Bible scholars kind of struggle with understanding, but fundamentally what it seems to show is that the grave clothes were lying there almost as though the body that they wrapped just disappeared and they fell in place. Now we all know what happened, amen? But John is saying, something is at work here. This is the third day. I'm not thinking grave robbers anymore. I'm starting to think differently now. The grave clothes are lying, they're all stretched out. And it says that Peter ran in and looked, and then John came in, and it says, now here's where he goes to resurrection mode. John saw and believed. He saw and believed. Now, what did he see? Did he see the risen Christ yet? No, that'll happen later today. That'll happen later today for John in the evening. The Lord will appear. But before he saw the risen Lord, he believed. Why did he believe? How did he believe? Because Jesus had said, on the third day I will rise. Now, John had forgotten that. John went into reaction mode. John was negative. But the Lord started to touch his mind and give him what the scriptures call metanoia, coming to a new mind. John began to run faster and faster. John came and he looked at the same evidence Mary Magdalene saw and the same evidence he'd already heard, but he looked again and he saw differently. He saw something new, something different, possibilities. You know, there's some people that see problems and all they see is problems. Other people see possibilities. And again, John saw, and now, even before he saw the risen Lord, he came to believe. The first disciple to come to real resurrection faith is John. He saw, even before the risen Lord appeared, he saw and believed. And notice, it's because of a conversion of his mind. He hasn't seen with his earthly eyes yet. Now, church, I'm emphasizing this because that's us, isn't it? We haven't seen with our earthly eyes the risen Lord, but I know what I have seen. First of all, I've heard that he is risen from the dead. Amen? That's the declaration of the church today. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad. The Lord has been raised truly. He has appeared to Peter. The early church declared. He is truly risen. But church, I'm not just basing on what I've heard, but what I've seen. Now, John hadn't seen the risen Lord yet, but he came to faith because his mind was changed. And how was his mind changed? By the Lord, but also there's evidence. I'm talking about grave clothes. Grave clothes. I've seen some grave clothes in my life too. What grave clothes am I talking about? Those clothes lying stretched out where there used to be a body in death. Now that dead body is gone and the grave clothes just lie there almost as though the body disappeared. What am I talking about? Church, in my own life, I've seen the risen Lord's power at work in the grave clothes of my life. There are things in my life that have been put to death and been raised to something new. Some sins I used to commit that I don't commit anymore. Some sorrows I used to have that I don't have anymore. The Lord's freed me from them. Some bad memories, painful memories, deep drives of anger, deep drives of frustration and fear and anxiety that are gone. I said they're gone. The body of that sin is gone and there's grave clothes lying there. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is ministering to me. He's changing my life. I have seen things put to death in my life. And where there was anger, now there's patience. Where there was fear, now there's courage and serenity. Where there was sorrow, now there's greater joy. Where there was deep drives of sin, now there's grace to avoid sin. I'm not saying I'm sin-free. I got a long way to go. But I'm not what I want to be. But I'm not what I used to be. Because a change, a wonderful change has come over me. I've seen grave clothes in my life. Can anyone else testify? Now the world wants to keep us locked in negativity. The world wants us to be negative. The world wants us to be fearful. And the Lord is saying today to all of us, I am offering you a new mind. I'm telling you that there is hope for your life because I've risen from the dead. You will have tribulation in this world. Just get used to it because you're not home in this world. This world is a foreign land and it speaks a different language and it's racist towards you. This world does not love you. This world, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but I have called you out of the world, and so the world will hate you. Will despise your hope and try to keep you in negativity and in sin. But I tell you, says the Lord, have confidence. I have overcome the world. If there is anyone in this church that's struggling with addiction, struggling with a sin, struggling with sorrow, the Lord says, I want to give you a new mind. I want you to see that it is possible to be free of every drive of sin, every drive of sorrow, every drive of negativity. Your mind can be changed, your heart can be changed, and your life can be changed. You can experience freedom from sin, freedom from addiction, freedom from sorrow, freedom from negativity, to live a completely new life, a new mind, a new heart, alive forever. The Lord says, there are difficulties now, but I will see you in Galilee. I will see you. I'll see you again, and your heart will be filled with joy. For now, look for those grave clothes. Be able to testify that the Lord has come through for you. There may be challenges ahead. All of us will face challenges. Today, this week, in this life ahead, all of us. But approach them with confidence. Because Jesus cast off death like a garment. And He says, tell my brothers, tell them to come to Galilee, and there they will see me. Keep going to the Galilee of your life. Keep coming back to this house of God, where we tell the story of God's victory over sin, His victory over death, His victory over the world and all of its negativity. Keep coming to Galilee. The Lord says, tell my brothers, go to Galilee. Tell them to hold out, to make that 60-mile journey. Tell them to go north into Galilee, where they will see me. Make the journey. Oh, church. Say with that old song, I promised the Lord. I promised the Lord that I would hold out. He said He'd meet me in Galilee. Have a resurrection mind. Not a negative mind, a reactionary mind, but a resurrection mind that can see hope even in painful situations. That in every cross, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. There are Fridays in life, and I got news for you, church. The only way we can get to Sunday is to go through Friday. Now, the world says, thank God it's Friday. But for a Christian, we understand that Friday is that symbol of suffering and pain and trial and setback and death. But church, Friday is on the way to Sunday. Just hold out a little while longer. Everything will be all right. Promise the Lord. Promise Him that you'll hold out. And He says, I will see you in Galilee. I promised the Lord that I would hold out. Hold out. Hold out. I promised the Lord that I would hold out. That He'd